Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Impact of influence. Influence.
Covering true crime throughout the Southeast.
Hello, friend. So grateful you can spend time with us today, Matt Harris and Seton Tucker. You can find Impact of Influence on Facebook. We'd love it if you'd rate and share the episode, make a comment as well, and join in the conversation, as I said, on Impact of Influence on Facebook and part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. And as we have been saying, we thought we were moving on from the Alec Murdoch stuff, and we have with the other episodes, and we'll be still dealing with true crime throughout the Southeast. But it seems either Alec Murdoch stuff or Alec Murdoch adjacent things keep falling into our lap, which we have to continue, so you will know every little thing that's happening. And Seton, where would you like to start on this episode?
Well, we have a few updates on the Becky Hill front. Governor McMaster has appointed an interim clerk of court for Colleton County, and this is former longtime clerk Patricia Grant. And she had served over 20 years as a clerk of court in Colleton County and also received the Order of the Palmetto.
Big time award type thing.
Right, and that's one of the awards I believe Randolph Murdoch received.
Mm-hmm.
I actually met her personally many years ago. We got our passports at the Colleton County Clerk House, and she was very professional and nice.
You did get your passports there?
Yeah, because...
Why did you get your passports there?
It was the wait in York County was so long, but at the time, and I don't know if it's still the case because my kids are older now, both parents had to go, and you had to make an appointment and agree that your kids could get passports.
And this is before all the Murdoch stuff.
This is way before all the Murdoch stuff, and we were on our way to Edisto. And so we just figured... We checked, and the schedule in... Walterboro was way easier than the schedule in York County, so we just stopped on our way to Edisto and got our passports there.
And also, Fitz News reported that Clerk Grant has fired Deputy Clerk of Court Gary Hale Jr. Tell me more about that.
Well, he is the person who Becky Hill claimed took the photo of Alec Murdoch in his cell. Remember, there's the photo where during the trial he was in this holding cell and he's laying down and he's reading a book. And they said that this was taken from a public camera in the courthouse. Anyway, and this photo was used to promote the book during the initial stuff online, but it was not actually used in the book Behind the Doors of Justice.
Oh, it was used to promote the book.
It was used to promote.
The Gordons wrote.
But it didn't make it into the book, and I don't know if that was on advice of a lawyer, maybe said, I'm not sure you should use that. And Fitz News reported a while ago that photo was actually taken from a screen in Becky Hill's office.
So the question is, Hale took it. Becky says Hale took it, but did she give permission to Hale? She's saying no, right?
Right. And I think Hale was someone who was promoted by Becky Hill, and he also has announced that he's running for the clerk of court position.
Okay, so Becky is out, of course, as you heard us talk about a few weeks ago.
She resigned.
Resigned, yep.
Said she wanted to spend more time with her family.
And he would appear to be friendly with Becky Hill because she appointed him. But then again, she also threw him under the bus as being the guy who took the picture. Mm. So I don't know where that relationship stands.
But also the fact that he has been let go by Clerk Grant makes you wonder what's going on.
Okay, so if you move in, though, and you take over a position, and you know that somebody has taken that photo, which is super inappropriate, you might say, and also be friends with the ex-clerk of court who's going through a whole bunch of stuff, you might say, I got to clean a little house here.
Right. Maybe we need to just have people who are not involved in this situation right. at all. Now, Fitz News has also said that the investigation into Clerk Hill is picking up momentum and that she is being looked into for abusing her position of public trust, obstruction of justice, and perjury.
And to be clear, she's not been charged with anything at this point.
No, but we have former Chief Justice Toll who said that she did not buy everything that she said on the stand right. during the evidentiary hearing in Alec Murdoch's bid to get a new trial.
And we know that there's been ethics investigations into her because there has been ethics complaints lodged against her, but criminally, no charges as of yet.
Yeah, and the ethics investigation is confidential, so we really don't know the status of that as well.
Fitz is also talking about some payments. Explain that.
So there is a bailiff named Cache Catterton, and she received 6 payments in the first 3 months of 2023, which is during the trial, for a total of $950. And they were reportedly for cleaning work done at the Colleton County Courthouse during the murder trial. But according to Fitz's source, they're saying that this was not to clean the courthouse. This was actually to clean her personal residence.
To clean Becky Hill's residence.
Yes.
Okay.
And, you know, there was this whole dump of records that were released of Clerk Hill's communications.
Bunch of emails.
Yes. Such. And there was an email dated August 23rd of 2024 from John Carpenter with the Colleton County Finance Department to Ms. Hill, and he is questioning expenses made out of office accounts. And in one of the emails, it says, it's important that reimbursements provided to employees are paid under guidelines set by council in an annual budget ordinance. Additional compensation to employees is not allowed without council approval. So it looks like there's some validity to Fitz's report that they are looking into these claims. And also, I think Ms. Catterton did have a cleaning service. Whether she cleaned the courthouse or whether she cleaned Ms. Hill's personal residence, that's the question.
And we opened with talking a bit about some of the latest on the Becky Hill saga. And that brings us to our guest. Neil and Melissa Gordon are with us. So is Mike Pachetnik. They together founded Trial Watchers LLC in February. We'll get more to that in a minute. But Neil and Melissa, you know from being on the show before, Melissa attended the Murdoch trial and hearings and shot a lot of behind-the-scenes video that is being used for a docuseries with episode 1 coming out in time for CrimeCon in late May in Nashville. And, of course, the book is the thing that we had them on for before, and the controversy with Lawyer Lori and all that. And so we're going to open with that, then move on to their latest venture. But the book has been, I guess, still put on hold. Let's find out what the latest is behind the doors that you guys co-authored with Becky Hill. What is the status of the book, Neil?
Yes, it's been unpublished, Matt, and the only way that I guess people can purchase the book is through the black market, if you will, either through eBay or through others that we understand have been passing it around, because I think there's always an interest when you're told you can't have something and you can't buy anything, that people want it. So, but it is not being sold through Amazon. There are no Kindle versions out or audiobooks, et cetera.
And the primary reason that you, I think, took this off of the market is because of the plagiarism. When did these plagiarism revelations come to you? Was there any sort of effort to make sure that plagiarism didn't happen beforehand?
How did it play out?
Just before Christmas weekend, late Thursday night, Friday morning before Christmas, which was Monday, just looking through the email dump that was released by Colleton County, I was totally shocked and caught off guard. And I think Melissa said it very well. We just didn't expect that from Becky.
No, we didn't.
And she has admitted it. She has fessed up that she did commit plagiarism.
It wasn't anything that you guys wrote, right? This was in some sort of introduction or foreword or something?
Yeah, it was the preface of the book. And again, she's the clerk of court, an elected official and someone we had gotten close to as a friend. And so, no, we did not check anything out as it came in and didn't have any concerns.
And then I believe that you were going to donate some portions of the proceeds or something at some point to charity. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, yes. Once it was discovered, the plagiarism, and Becky told us, you know, that she had done that, we began to disengage a bit and figure out, you know, what path we would move forward with. Neil and I, through a lot of prayer and discussions, felt like in good conscience, we could not keep any monies that would be coming in from this because it wasn't our work. And so we decided when the royalties came in, we would take 100% of that money after whatever costs we had and write a check to a couple charities in the Lowcountry. We just felt like it was the right thing to do.
Yes, that's the Community Foundation of the Lowcountry. They're based in Hilton Head, but they have dozens and dozens of nonprofits and charities that they work with, including the ones set up in honor of the late Gloria Satterfield and Stephen Smith. And we just thought, in light of all that had occurred with the trial and the Murdochs and the sort of the association of some regard, that we thought that would be a good place to donate the proceeds.
It was the plagiarism, though, that caused you to do that, because you had known about the ethics complaint, but you didn't pull it off the shelves then. Like, the ethics complaint, you kind of pushed back against the narrative that Becky had done anything wrong. And so you were bailing on it because of the plagiarism. But have you changed your viewpoint on Becky and her ethics?
That's interesting.
That's a good question.
Well, we both were interviewed by SLED just about her ethics and promotional activities and so forth. But to date, as far as I know, she's not been charged with any crime or anything of that regard. So we live in a society of innocent until proven guilty.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm just curious, though, because you were strongly in her camp. I'm not saying anything wrong with that. We all thought she was what she was.
Found her a lovely person when we engaged with her.
But then she goes in on the stand, and Justice Toll is like, I'm not buying everything you're selling here. And more and more and more has come out since that original complaint. So that's why I'm kind of, you know, yes, you're innocent until proven guilty. We all get that. But are you firmly entrenched in her camp still, or you have questions about her?
Definitely have questions.
Okay.
I think it's hard. You know, we started this journey and, you know, she was an officer of the court. I gave her complete trust, just like I would any law enforcement officer or anything else, just like everybody did. And she was a lovely person and kind. I began to disengage in December, mid-December.
There's a lot of smoke is what we're saying here right now, right?
There is a lot of smoke. And, you know, we definitely wish her the best. I'm lost for words. Yeah, I think I forgot.
Stunning. You're not going to die on the hill, that hill right now for her, because it's smoky.
Well, let's talk about this. You know, we received a call from SLED about when she came on our podcast and gave an interview about her book. And I know you've said that you were interviewed by SLED What were they questioning you about, and how long did this interview last?
Well, it was about 2 hours that we were interviewed by one investigator, and Melissa became part of it because she helped to find some dates and some times that we went out on the road and did some promotional activities. And he even asked us to research it further and be as exact as possible. And it ended up, Matt and Seton, that we did 20 different book signings, media appearances, or speaking engagements. And I'm speaking that in which Becky was involved. And he basically wanted to know, did it occur during the week? And if it occurred during the week, what time of day was it? And he was very assertive about it and just kind of gave me the impression that there's definitely an issue related to when all of this occurred. And I should tell you that when we were getting ready to go out on the road, particularly 1 week in August, I looked at her and I said, do you have vacation time to be able to sort of take off and do this? And she said, well, I'm an elected official. I really don't have to file paperwork like for PTO or vacation time or sick time. I work a lot of hours. So as long as the court system is running okay, I'm allowed to do this. And I thought, oh, okay, you're the clerk of court. If that's what you say, then understood. And
yeah,
you know,
we never questioned any of her, any of that. You know, that's kind of not our, you know, we weren't there to kind of police her on things like that. And we just trusted that if she said she could be off, then she could. I mean,
and probably like all of us that have worked salaried positions before, you accrue a certain number of days off and vacation and all of that. And, you know, you don't even think twice that you certainly you can do that. But again, I guess the issue is during the course of the day and being an elected official, and are you using the public office for personal gain? And is that a bad look? And I don't know. I still don't know what the law is because it's kind of ambiguous when I looked for it. And I'm not making excuses for Becky or for anyone. I just don't know.
Yeah, it wasn't your job to check that out. I get it. Let's talk about one of our sponsors. It is Factor. You can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh meal is never frozen and is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, and they are ready in just 2 minutes.
What did you have chili the other day?
Delicious.
And if you want gourmet meals, you can try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, asparagus. So head to factormeals.com/impact50 and use code impact50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That code's impact50 at factormeals.com/impact50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Impact 50 at factormeals.com/impact50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
And who doesn't love going to the movies?
It is my favorite date night activity, and my daughter, she's a huge movie goer.
Oh yeah, I just went to Kung Fu Panda 4 the other week at Regal Cinemas, and they're doing this cool thing called Regal Unlimited. Explain, Seton.
It is an all-you-can-watch movie subscription pass that pays for itself in just 2 visits.
Nice.
You can see any standard 2D movie anytime with no blackout dates or restrictions.
Love that. And also, if you want to do the souped-up versions, you want to watch a movie in a premium format like 4DX, IMAX, RPX, ScreenX, your Regal Unlimited membership gets you into those premium experiences at a reduced cost.
And you don't just save on tickets, you also save on snacks.
Members get 10% off all non-alcoholic concession items. So if you're planning to see 2 movies this month, you need to join Regal Unlimited. Sign up now in the Regal app or on regmovies.com/unlimited. regmovies.com/unlimited. And use our code IMPACTREG. Reg. Impact Reg. Do it now.
And one of the things in this ethics complaint that was alleged was that Becky Hill promoted her book during book tours given at the Colleton County Courthouse. Did you attend any of these tours? And if so, did you witness her promoting her book?
Well, first off, when I was there for the trial, I didn't really know her. Anytime I stopped back by the courthouse for whatever reason, if we were driving through, and I did go for a tour, I think a lady, a deputy named Tracy, super sweet. She gave me a tour. Becky wasn't with us during that tour. I never saw Becky give a tour the small fraction of times I was there after the trial. From my understanding, it was the deputies or bailiffs who gave the tours. Because I even asked her about that, and she said, no, I don't do the tours. They do the tours.
I mean, I don't believe she was, you know, promoting the book. Like, we never saw books out.
But we weren't there. We weren't there.
When she did the interview with us, it was actually during her lunch hour, I believe, and she was not even at her office. She was recording from Twigs, a little gift shop in Walterboro.
Yeah.
So another thing that has been alleged about her is about these sealed documents that she allowed media to see. Were y'all allowed to see any of these sealed documents?
I mean, we weren't a part of being there when the media was meeting in the evenings or anything like that. So we wouldn't know.
That was after the fact. I think some were during, but then I believe it's been alleged that she provided Netflix with a file of some sealed documents after.
But you're saying you never saw any sealed documents at any point?
We weren't part of the media camp at all. We weren't present for any of that. And I believe there was a, you know, whenever we would get the chapters or whatever, when y'all were doing all the revisions and stuff like that, I think anything that was ever put in any files or anything like that was stuff that was able to be, you know, court documents that were public record.
So let's get to the photo that was used, I guess, in a way to help promote the book. It is the photo of Alec Murdoch in the holding cell. He's on a cot. He's reading a book. And when we talked to you originally, you were like, we're not revealing our source who took the photo. Now, Becky says it was Gary Hale Jr., who has since been fired. But was it Gary Hale that sent you that photo? Can you?
Or was it her daughter?
Who was it? Are you allowed to say now how you got that photo?
Yeah, and so the reason that I did not reveal that the last time we were on podcast, for obvious reasons, I just feel like when things are under investigation, and I haven't really been questioned about that, that I wasn't just going to go on a podcast and blurt it out. I feel like, you know, authorities have worked hard enough on this case, and that doing so would be irresponsible. And to be honest with you, I was not present when that photo was taken. I know that Becky has shared with us that many people had that photo. Gary was mentioned, and other people that were allowed in the courthouse who had their phones. And I just know that I didn't take it.
Who emailed it to you?
Becky texted it.
Oh, okay. Becky texted it to you.
Yes.
Yes, okay. But still, even then, you know, for me to go on and just say the source of who took it when I wasn't present. I wasn't present for who took the photo.
Right, okay.
And so I just didn't want to stir any of that up while authorities were trying to investigate and sort all that out. So I don't want to speak to anything.
Do you believe her story that this came from a public camera, or do you think this came from the screen in her office?
When I was in her office after the trial, just when I stopped by to say hello or the couple times I visited there, her office was purple. When you guys were there...
I never went to her office.
Yeah, I never was in her office.
Okay,
She moved. She allowed usage of her original office for another purpose during the trial and switched back to another. So... There were two offices that she had, if that makes sense.
So I can say, I mean, it's obvious it's from a monitor somewhere. Yeah. I know there was some, there's like a panel of monitors when you first walk in. I know there's a panel of monitors for in the kitchen area, I think it is, or break room. And as far as what her office was during the trial versus what her office was when I was there, when I was in her office, it was purple. So I can't speak to that either. I mean, clearly it's from a monitor.
Yeah.
So I don't know how relevant it is. And there was, when we did our tour too, when Tracy showed us around, there was actually a room next door to where the holding cells are in the basement that also had monitors and like two recliners, I think, that for bailiffs who would sit down there maybe to guard. Okay. So I don't know.
I did want to mention to you that besides being interviewed by SLED, we were interviewed by a pair of Ethics Commission investigators who were very interested in the photo situation. And what they said to us was, in looking over some text messages, because Becky had sent the photo, was because she did not have intent for us to use it for personal gain, that she's, that they're not looking at into that for her. I made the decision to put it on social media myself because I thought it was, wow, how poetic that he's awaiting his fate and he's reading a murder novel while reclining. And I just thought, wow, that was, and not really thinking, not thinking where it came from, not thinking how the photo was taken. Luckily, I'm a private citizen and I won't get in trouble for that. But in fairness to Becky, that is a situation I know that they told us because the intent was not for her to have this placed in the book, which had never made it in the book, or to have personal gain. She was just sending it to us like, wow. Isn't this interesting? That kind of.
Yeah, she sent it. I don't think we were in the same place that day. I think I was at the office and you were home. So she sent it to me. And my only response was, oh, Jesus. You know, that it was so shocking to me. And then she sent it to Neil. And of course, Neil, the reporter, starts asking questions. So then when Neil talked about posting it in the groups because it was interesting, you know, I said, I don't know. You better get permit. So we have a good friend. I was like, you better check that out. I said, because, you know, Neil didn't belong to a lot of the Murdaugh groups. I did.
Yeah.
And he was to post it. And I'm like, you better make sure. So he checked with a friend of ours who's an attorney about Alex's, you know, privacy and stuff like that. And the guy was like, he doesn't have any, you know, rights of privacy. So Neil said, it's fine to post it. And then he posted it under my name.
Why did y'all decide not to use it in the book?
So we had gotten some flack online from different people about where did this photo come from? Who took it? Was it security monitors or what have you? And we just thought it just would have been inappropriate to post it in the book. So we took it down even off social media as well.
So I think you mentioned that you had some thoughts on Becky Hill's resignation.
Yeah, I did. I thought that what Justice Toll said on January 29th at the evidentiary hearing rang true on that podcast. And I actually just finished writing in the epilogue, the very last part of the book, the last paragraph, my thoughts on it. And if I may, it's trialwatchers.com to learn how to get the book. But ostensibly, I think she did hear the siren call of celebrity. And I don't think that was a very good look for her at the end as she resigned, doing a big press conference. We're used to presidents, governors, and mayors doing that maybe when they resign amid some controversy. And usually it's met with some humbleness and a way that they present it where they would leave, you know, with a certain look. And I just don't think it was a good look. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
Yeah,
it was very strange. I thought it was very odd. Wasn't anything that I had seen.
I think a press release would have been fine. Didn't have to have cameras. Considering all that she's going through, it didn't, even though, you know, again, not charged, not even an ethics violation, just accusations, I think it would have been better to fly under the radar.
Well, and if she's really stepping down to spend more time with her grandchildren, as she said, why does that require a press conference?
But then again, she could have people in her ear who like to be on TV.
Could be.
Because there were other people at that conference who spoke, and that those particular people, like a Justin Bamberger or somebody, might have said to her, hey, let's do this. I can get on TV.
Or maybe they just thought it was the best way to put out any rumors.
Right.
Although people are still talking about, is that really why she stepped down?
Yeah.
So. You mentioned you have a new project called TrialWatchers.com. Tell us what this is all about.
Neil approached me last year after the Murdoch trial had ended to tell me about this book that he was publishing with Becky Hill, and that Melissa had just gotten back from Colleton County with all this great content. And he suggested that we produce a documentary again about the Murdoch trial. And I told him this has been done before. There are plenty of these out there already. But based on what you're telling me about all these great characters that Melissa came across, I think the real story here is about the trial watchers, the people who put their lives on hold, who traveled hundreds, sometimes thousands of miles to wait in line for 4, 5, 6 hours to get in and sit on one of those hard pews to watch the court case unfold in front of them. And after we started going through all of this great stuff that Melissa had found, we settled on that and decided to call this Trial Watchers. And it has evolved now into a book that's an anthology of short stories about a lot of the folks that do this, about the psychology behind it. We do a chapter on journalism, ethics, and reporting. I have a 20-plus year career in TV news where I covered a lot of these trials and encountered a lot of these interesting characters myself. And so we're going to be launching that in May.
That's part of the docuseries you're doing, right? And is it going to be at CrimeCon in Nashville? Are you ready
for
then?
Yeah, we're going to be at CrimeCon in Nashville with the book published and ready to go, and meeting folks. And Neil will talk to anybody who wants to talk to him about the Murdoch trial and behind the doors of justice. But we'll be there really to talk about the trial watchers and really to meet the trial watchers themselves, who will be at CrimeCon and sort of turn the mirror back on them.
Trial watchers watching trial watchers. So trial watchers squared.
I've just started.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, I didn't really realize this was a thing until we started the Murdoch, and I just started digging into this Karen Reed stuff, and it seems like it may be even more adversarial than the Murdoch.
Are you going to dig into the Facebook groups and the battles that sometimes happen on those? Is that part of what you're digging into?
Yeah, I'll let Neil handle this one. There's a whole chapter on the internet trolls and
really?
The mudslinging that takes place even amongst the trial watchers.
We met a lady, Matt and Seton, named Amanda Moore, who lives in Texas, and she shared with us that she's overcome addiction over the years, and she's turned her life around, and she is, for lack of better words, sort of addicted to trial watching, if you will. She's put her energies into that, but in trying to help people, she says hurt people tend to hurt people. And so she's looked into she's been an administrator of some of these Facebook groups, and she really tries to be the peacemaker, because there was so much vitriol, and there still is in a way, because people are so passionate about whether Alex did it or he didn't. How could he murder his son and his wife? And was there somebody else? And were there one shooter, two shooters? And everybody has a different theory. And so we talked with her. And as Mike mentioned, Mike actually talked with the lady. I think, is it Dr. Pam Rutledge?
Yeah. She's a media psychologist who has written extensively about why people are obsessed with the true crime genre. Mm.
Well, we dealt with some of the vitriol.
Yeah, so, it's still out there. That's what I would mention, this Karen Reed case. I was just looking this morning, and people are really going at each other.
We never fed into it as much. We never talked about it on the podcast or never engaged very much. So that'll be interesting. But I do, because we have very little time left. I want people to check that out, the trialwatcher.com. We'll put a link and all the information on our Facebook page. impact of influence. But one thing I wanted to touch on before we left is any thoughts that you have about the issue with the ethics complaint you filed against Lori Murray. Do you have any regrets about that? Are you still strongly opposed to what she did? And what are your thoughts?
So we actually, Melissa and I actually met her at the same hearing you were at in Columbia there on January 29th. And we actually had a very civil conversation. And just before finalizing the book, I made a phone call to the Bar Association. And they told me that in many cases, they don't even look into things. They just set it aside and they don't open a case. But they said in this situation that they are investigating the case. I don't want anything bad to happen to her. I don't want her to lose her livelihood. I don't think that will be the case. I don't want her to suffer in that way. We just wanted her to know that, and maybe it has to do with the new form of social media, TikTok, where you just get on there and you kind of just throw up. You just talk. And Mike and I come from decades of journalism experience where you check into things, you peel the layers of the onion. And I think if I could allow Melissa to share what she said to Lori in Columbia.
Yes, I spoke with her briefly and said, you know, we are so reachable and I just wish you would have checked. And she said, well, I was just trying to read what was alleged on the ethics complaint. And I said, well, that's not how it was taken by a lot of people. And, you know, it really was hurtful, you know. And, you know, Neil and I both are business owners in our town. He's got a good reputation. And I was getting message after message after message from clients, whatnot, about this. And it was just going crazy. And I thought, this information is not true. And it blew my mind because she's a defense attorney. Out of all the people in the world, why would you go and put that out there and insinuate something that may or may not be true? Like, that was so, to me, opposite of what a defense attorney would do. It blew my mind.
But I was thinking she was just reading the actual complaint.
Saying this, but I told her we could be friends because I'm a potty mouth too. So.
that's what I was saying, though. She, in her mind, I think she was just reading the
not
the complaint. She wasn't saying that these things were necessarily true. She was just reading from the complaint.
If you listen back to it, the alleged occurred like a minute or two before.
The alleged occurred way before she brought
me up. She really just said, Melissa Gordon was in the courtroom for 30 days, every day getting favorite, you know, to take pictures. And it just wasn't, a journalist would have been taking more care with that information, made phone calls or just taking more care.
Quick question, because we're almost going to be ending. The oath of civility, I'm assuming someone told you about that. There's lay people don't know about the oath of civility. Some attorneys don't even know about it. So I assume someone told you about that. So in order to have a reason to have a complaint.
Yes. And then I looked into it some. And then when I made the call to the South Carolina Bar, I said, there's some confusion about whether it's how you conduct yourself outside or inside the courtroom. And all they would say to me is that we have chosen to investigate this. And yes, this, it comes from this particular passage and statute within the law. And that's all they said to me.
Was it Justin? Was it the rumor is Justin Bamberg is the one who told you about the oath of civility, encouraging you to make the complaint. Is that true?
Not true.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Cleared it right up. Easy. Yeah. And you can catch out trialwatcher.com and the book and the docuseries will be coming out soon. Thank you guys.
Thanks guys.
All right, thank you, guys. And Seton, we want to touch on an episode that we did, I think, 3 episodes ago about Katie Major.
Yes, I've been in contact with her mother, Vicky. We've spoken several times since then, and she's working on getting us some information. There really remains a lot of questions about this case that we are digging into, and I really hope that we can help get answers for the family.
Very good. We hope that you'll share this episode, rate the episode, make a comment, join us on Facebook, Impact of Influence. This particular episode will not be on the YouTube channel, but hopefully you'll go check out the YouTube channel and subscribe, because we're getting that rolling as well, part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. And again, always, always grateful that you spend time with us. It's much appreciated. We'll talk soon, friend.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours. Like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more. Made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
I'm an American vigilante. I have a question for you. What would you do if someone you cared about was abducted, taken from you? Would you call me? Would you care about how I got them back? Download American Vigilante now.